I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm finding victory over drugs and alcohol. My name is Brian. My life has been a long journey plagued with loss and abuse, leading me to find escape. It is also a story of how God can restore us and use our brokenness to bring others to Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of all of our Lord Jesus, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in our troubles so that we are able to help those who have all kinds of troubles, using the same help that we ourselves have received from God." I had a rough childhood. Without the troubles I faced, I'm not sure my love of Christ would be as strong as it is today. It has also left me with a story to share, a story of God's love, pursuit, and faithfulness. I was born in Southern California to my mother and father's father, whose marriage was already on the rocks. My father was an alcoholic, and my mother was struggling to raise me and my younger sister. When I was around 4 years old, my parents divorced. There is not much I remember of this time in my life. What stands out most, though, is since their divorce, I only saw my dad one time before he had passed away. I didn't even know he had passed until a year after his passing. Not much time went by before my mother met a guy while attending college. They dated only a short period prior to getting married. After they got married, we moved out of the trailer we lived in and moved into his house. We didn't stay long as the decision was made to move from Southern California to Central California. It didn't take long to get settled in our new town. We moved into a brand new home, found a good church, and my sister and I found new friends fairly quickly. We began to be heavily involved in church, attending every Sunday for the main service, Sunday school afterwards, as well as attending on Wednesdays for dinner and service. We were also involved with activities the church put on, like family camp, youth camps. Although I went to church a lot and had Christian friends, things seemed to be going... Although I went to church and had a lot of Christian friends, I still didn't feel Christ inside me. Things seemed to be going well for our family. From the outside looking in, we appeared to be a normal family. That all suddenly changed when my sister confided in one of her friends that she was being sexually abused by her stepfather. The friend told her mother, and that led to the police knocking on our door with child services right behind. They pulled my sister out of the home and into a foster care facility and took my stepdad to jail. I was left alone with my mother, who was hurt and confused, as I was myself. This was the beginning of many years of family therapy to try to rebuild our family. During these family therapy sessions, I also learned that the way I was punished was considered physical abuse. There were several times I was beaten in the head or whipped with a belt. I always thought this was okay and that I deserved it for misbehaving. It was around this time I started going down the wrong path, leading to substance abuse. Since I was able to get away with a lot more now that my dad was out of the house. It all started with smoking cigarettes when I was in sixth grade. Me and a friend stole a carton of smokes from his dad, who was a distributor and had a car full. It wasn't long after that I tried pot for the first time. This pattern didn't stop, and I continued to progress in my substance abuse. I had finally found a way to deal with the pain of losing a father who abandoned me and a stepdad that had abused me. I continued with my destructive behavior through middle school and somehow graduated. However, the freedom that was associated with high school gave me further opportunities to act out. I skipped a good portion of my freshman year, and for doing so was arrested, put on probation, and sent to an alternative school labeled probation school. This school was run by the county sheriff's office and had probation officers on site assigned to each student. We often had UAs if they suspected us of using. I did well in the setting and was able to make up a lot of schoolwork I had missed my freshman year of regular high school. In addition, I had to stay away from pot as we had frequent UAs. Because of my progress, I was released to another alternative school with fewer restrictions, but I only lasted about 2 weeks in this new school before I got sent back to the probation school for truancies again. Not only was I struggling with school, I was struggling at home as well. My mom continuously needed to call my probation officer because I was out of control. I would sneak out at night to party and many times not even come home. This was until I was 16 years old and my mom found me high on peyote in my room. I was arrested and taken to juvenile hall and did not get released or sent back home as I had in the past. This time I spent a few weeks in juvenile hall before I was placed into a group home. The group home was not a setting I was willing to be in. I did not want any part of the rigorous routines that was associated with the group home life. I only stayed for 2 days before I decided I would run. My thinking was I could stay on the run till I was 18 and all of this would go away. In the beginning, I stayed with two close friends and their family. I was comfortable staying here because they were all users too, and it didn't matter that I used drugs. In fact, the first time I tried meth with my buddy, he and I stole it from his dad. Not only was I progressing in my drug use, as I stayed there, I was also sexually abused by their uncle. He would come to visit and get us high, then when everyone fell asleep, he would sexually abuse me. This went on for about 6 to 9 months before I got into a fight with one of my friends and never returned to their house and didn't speak to them again. At this point in my life, I had lost what little I had and had lost the trust of those who loved me. I was now living on the streets. I would stay wherever I could. I would follow the drugs and use whatever was available, from meth to heroin. My being on the run lasted until I was 18, like I had planned, but ended badly with being arrested for being a passenger in a stolen car. We were stopped at gunpoint, arrested, and taken to jail. This was my first time in jail, but it would not be my last. Most of my jail stints were drug-related and only for a few weeks. My last time was for just over a month, and this time I had found God. I told myself and God I was going to change and was going to stop using. Once I was released, I had nowhere to go and ended up staying with the same group of friends, leading back into the same drug life. This would go on for a couple more years. I would stay where people would let me, and I was still using whatever drug was around. As time went on, my situation got worse, and I would not show up for my court dates and had several warrants out for my arrest. I had a failure to appear on a DUI and had a warrant for not completing my drug diversion program for an under the influence of illegal narcotics arrest. At this point, my life was at rock bottom, and I was ready to be done. The night I turned my life over to God is still vivid in my mind and reminds me that God's love for us is always there, no matter where we are in life. The night my life changed began with me stealing a trailer as some sort of initiation with a group of guys that were recruiting me into their gang. We brought the trailer back to a wrecking yard where I was staying. It wasn't long after getting back, a girl I would see occasionally came to pick me up unexpectedly. She said, "Let's go," but the guy that was watching me said I had to stay. At this point, she pulled out a gun and said, "No, he is leaving with me." To this day, I still don't know why that guy didn't want me to leave. Maybe he had plans for me. One thing I do know, however, is that God had a plan for me. We went back to her mom's house, a place I knew all too well because it was where I often stayed and used drugs. After things settled, I was laying down trying to go to sleep. It was then I heard an angel's voice say clear as day, trust in God. I'm not sure what was odder, the fact that I had heard the voice of an angel or the fact that the voice came from underneath the trailer that I was sleeping in. Either way, I knew I needed to take action. I was scared and lost, but knew I needed to listen to God. I left the house and walked to a place called a rescue mission. This is where I turned my life over to the Lord and started my new life as a Christ follower. I stayed at the mission for over 6 months. I began working for the California Conservation Corps 4 days a week and attending adult school on Fridays to get my GED. A friend of my parents began to come visit with me at the mission and was mentoring me in my new walk with the Lord. Things were going well until one day I returned to the mission drunk, prompting them to kick me out. My mentor was gracious and said I could rent a room from him, and I accepted. Shortly after moving in, I met his daughter. She had moved out shortly before I started living there and had come back to get some belongings. After our initial meeting, we would see each other at church, which led to us becoming friends, and ultimately we started dating. She was by my side as I learned how to cope with life without using drugs while digging myself out of the legal mess I had created for myself. At this time, I had a steady job, I was going to church, but I still had my outstanding warrants to deal with. As a part of my life change, I turned myself into the police for my outstanding warrants. They threw the cuffs on me, but by God's grace, I only spent 6 hours in jail. I went to court and had a DUI pleaded down to a ticket. I paid the fines and was able to finally get a driver's license. I went before the judge for my failed diversion classes, and rather than giving me the 2-year suspended sentence, she let me complete them. At this time, I was feeling good about myself. Everything was clicking along, and I felt like a normal person with a normal life. You would think at this point I would live happily ever after, but that is far from the truth, as I still hadn't dealt with the pain from my past. In 2001, I got married to the woman I had been dating. We moved from California to Illinois so she couldn't attend graduate school. I stayed clean from 96 until 2001, when I ran into another user and started using pot and cocaine. The using this time was stopped short because after my wife graduated college, we moved again, this time to New York. I was clean again for a while until I ran into other users and joined in like I always had. This time, though, I was using cocaine heavily, leaving a trail of credit card debt and lies to my wife. I was living a double life with double life. My wife and my friends from church had no idea I was using. It wasn't long before my wife found out, causing issues in our relationship. This cycle of behavior would repeat each place we moved and continue to get worse. I would try to stay clean, but I would try to stay clean by not allowing myself to get into situations where there was drug use. This was not enough, though. I needed some sort of recovery to heal from my past. I would come up with every justification as to why I didn't need recovery, even though I could feel God leading me in the direction of celebrate recovery. Let me fast forward to 2013, as this is where the real change started. I was arrested once again for another DUI after attending a work outing. I was passed out on the bathroom floor and was woke up by my wife telling me there was a state trooper at the door looking for me. I was arrested and sentenced to diversion classes, and it was there that I truly realized I needed to do more than just talk to God about helping me through my road to recovery. I attended AA as it was ordered by the courts, and God was still telling me to attend Celebrate Recovery, but I didn't listen. I was an emotional mess, and everything I tried to do to stay clean failed. Like the many times in my past, I started to hang around the wrong people. I ran into a meth user in 2015 and started using meth regularly. I gave up on my family and gave up trying to stay clean and sober. I remember after one fight with my wife, I said, I don't care anymore. At least that's what I tried to tell myself. I would go on using for over 2 years, hiding it from everybody, but I knew that God sees all, and I feared what was to happen. I knew God would not let me continue down this path without consequences. Finally, my fears were realized when my wife said that as soon as she found a job, she was moving out. I was torn with this because I didn't want to try anymore because I always failed, but yet I did not want to lose my wife and kids either. Romans 7:18 says, I know nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. It was at this point I was done using for good. I called a friend from church and he suggested I attend CR. I was finally submitting to God and his plan for my life, so I started attending CR at Rolling Hills in January of 2018. This is where I found hope and a path to recovery. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Romans 6:12-13. I had been attending CR for a month while I was still using, but didn't know how to stop without losing my job. I was told I should go to an inpatient rehab facility, but by several people for detox as a place to start, but found that difficult because of my job. After a whole lot of praying and listening to what God was telling me, I knew I had to put my trust in God, in Him. My favorite verse came to me at this time, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. At this time, I was attending a step study, and the night of our meeting on February 4, 2018, I committed to stop using. The lesson we were on that night was powerless. I finally realized I was powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life was unmanageable. At the end of that meeting, all the guys in the step study circled around me, and we prayed to God that He would remove the drugs from my life. That night, I dumped what meth I had left down the toilet and began my walk as a drug-free follower of Christ. With the help of my accountability partners and my sponsor, I can say I have 2 years clean and sober today. Thank you. I continued the step study and worked the steps. I found a sponsor whom I gave my inventory to. I worked on my amends with my family, and I have found a group of people that love me despite my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Through Celebrate Recovery, I realized that I am broken and sin lives within me, and only a strong daily walk with Christ will help me in my road to recovery. I have come to realize that the 12 steps are not a short-term solution or a quick fix, but are a roadmap as to how we should live as Christ followers. After going through my first step study, I wanted to work on the 12th step that states, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all of our affairs. God led me to be a co-leader in a step study at Columbia River Correctional Facility. I have also become a leader here at Celebrate Recovery and volunteer on a regular basis. Step 12 is one of the most difficult for me because the enemy constantly tells me I am not good enough to be able to help others, and I know that is a lie. God has used and continues to use broken people to share the good news. So I stand in front of you today, not for fame or recognition. I stand here in obedience to God and His plan. Looking forward, I have no idea where God will lead me. And to be honest, I am a little scared because He will almost certainly take me out of my comfort zone. But as scary as that is, it is also very exciting to be a part of God's plan. I will continue to follow wherever it is he leads me and do my best to step out of what is comfortable, like giving a testimony or leading a step study in prison, to help others, myself, to help myself and others. There is a saying in recovery that goes, keep coming back. So for the newcomer, I say to you, keep coming back as I did. Recovery is not a quick fix. It is a daily process, but if you actively work it, life becomes much easier to manage. God replaces your past hurts with his love, grace, and mercy. I find it necessary for myself to continue coming to CR because without the network of people I have gained, I might not have made it this far. The area of my recovery that had the most impact was working through the step study. It was there I had worked through much of my past issues and realized I am not alone in this battle. I built relationships with others that are not judgmental but are caring. I will leave you with this. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. I pray that you too can experience God's grace and love like I have. Thanks for letting me share.